Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth. So, the Labour split is finally upon us. This morning we have had 7 Labour MPs announce that they are quitting the party. And here is Luciana Berger, one of the 7, explaining why.
I cannot remain in a party that I have today come to the sickening conclusion is institutionally anti-Semitic. It was nearly a year ago that we saw the unprecedented event of a minority community, the Jewish community, taking to Parliament Square to demonstrate against the Labour Party, to say, enough is enough. And yet since then, despite a mountain of evidence, we have only seen the situation of racism against Jewish people get worse. The leadership has willfully and repeatedly failed to address hatred against Jewish people within its ranks. And it is for these reasons and many more that I have made this decision today.
Isabel, you were at the press conference this morning. Can you give us some details of the scenes?
Well, the scenes before the MPs came in were slightly chaotic. They booked a very, very small room that was packed out, and it wasn't clear to begin with whether they'd actually be able to get into the room because it was so crowded. And yet they had researchers sort of clearing photographers out the way through the centre. And it was a bit like actually being at a wedding where you're waiting for the bride to come in and everyone's sort of going, oh, is she here yet? Is she here yet? And eventually they walked in and no one knew precisely who would be there. And there were some surprises. So Anne Coffey, I think, who's not really seen as being one of the most vocal critics of Jeremy Corbyn in the way that perhaps Chris Leslie or Chukwuemunna have been. She was part of the 7. And then they all spoke about their sort of rootedness in the Labour movement. They wanted to set out their Labour heritage before they explained why they were going, to show that it was the party's values that had changed, not theirs. Luciana Berger introduced the new independent group. She accidentally introduced herself as the Labour and then sort of paused and said, well, I'm the member for Liverpool Wavertree. And they all had similar themes that they stuck to. So the culture of bullying and harassment within the Labour Party. Europe was another issue that obviously came up a lot. Chris Leslie and Chukwuemunna accused Jeremy Corbyn of a betrayal of the British people and of the party on Labour's Europe policy, and anti-Semitism was obviously a key issue for Luciana Berger in particular. She said the Labour Party had become institutionally anti-Semitic, although she didn't precisely say that Jeremy Corbyn himself was anti-Semitic. In terms of the atmosphere in the room, it was quite a sad atmosphere, actually. They were definitely pitching for a more in sorrow than in anger departure from the party. And I think their focus on their heritage, particularly Angela Smith, I sort of thought we were going to get Angela Smith's entire life story, like she was sort of doing Desert Island Discs or something like that. They all wanted to show that this wasn't a sort of fun decision for them and that they were making a careerist move. And I think that came across quite clearly, actually.
So we now have a new group, currently with the working title The Independent Group. James, what happens from here? Are we expecting by-elections? Are we expecting these MPs to just remain as independents and try and build up more support? Because at the moment, you couldn't call them a mass movement, could you?
So the Labour Party are predictably calling them to stand down and fight by-elections. They're going to resist that because they want to. I think one of the reasons they've chosen such a bland name is that they hope to sit there and attract more people over to their party. I thought in Chukwuemunna's speech, he was very clear that he wants people from all political traditions. So this isn't an attempt to create a new social democratic party. This, you know, lots of people have talked about the split from the Labour Party being about a kind of true Labour split to oppose Corbyn's Labour. This isn't that. This is an attempt to create a new party, I think more in the political centre than before. I think you see one of the obstacles to its success is it is going to be in part defined by its position on Europe. It's telling that none of Jeremy Corbyn's critics who take a different line on Brexit have joined this new party. So you don't see Labour MPs worried about their relationship with their Brexit voting constituents, such as Ian Austin, joining this new party. I think perhaps the biggest challenge for it is this, is that when the SDP broke away, there were 4 of them at the beginning, but three of them were 3 of the best, you know, top 10 best known politicians in Britain at the time. this group doesn't have anything like that level of inherent cut through with the public. So I think this is a challenge for them. How do they communicate with the public? You can see, I think, I suspect that Luciana Berger's speech saying that the Labour Party has become institutionally anti-Semitic will do Labour some damage, and deservedly so. But the question is, how do they then build from that to a positive case for their new movement, as opposed to a case against Jeremy Corbyn?
They can't just be Labour 2.0. They can't be a group of Labour MPs who are setting up the Provisional Labour Party. They have to, and they were trying, particularly Chukwuemunna, to appeal to Conservative MPs, to Lib Dems, and saying that they're building a new movement rather than just saying we're splitting off from the Labour Party because we disagree with that. And I guess that's where the Labour values question becomes quite interesting, because they've all set out, you know, their life stories this morning, but they hope to have Conservative MPs joining them as well. At which point do they then say, well, actually, you know, our Labour values are changing, or do they say that these Conservative MPs are signing up to an essentially a Labour-ish project? So they still need to work out whereabouts on the political spectrum this new movement is eventually going to pitch itself.
And how likely is it that we are going to have Conservative MPs joining? Because we've heard today again of the threat of, inverted commas, purple momentum, with certain Remain-leaning Tory MPs perhaps facing deselection threats. Do you think, James, they are going to see this new movement as a vehicle for them to jump in?
Well, one Tory minister with kind of close links to that kind of group of that hardline Remain Tory MPs said to me last week he thought a couple of Tory MPs would join this new party. But I think Isabel's raised the complete the right question. So Sarah Williston and Heidi Allen are, I think, exceptional in that they joined the Tory party very late, and it's not just on Brexit that they disagree with the Tory party. They have lots of other views that don't fit the Tory fold. I think Anna Soubry is a much more interesting question, because although she obviously has worked incredibly closely with Chukwuemunna in Europe, and so you would think logically if anyone was going to go, it would be her. She's still on things like small business and enterprise. She is still very Tory in her thinking. And so I think that is an interesting question. And I think this is also a question for this new independent group, which is how they want their relationship with the left to be, which is if they welcome Anna Soubry with open arms, you can already hear the people saying, you've just embraced a politician who voted for austerity, you know, however many dozens and dozens of times she has in the House of Commons. So this is the other question, you know. Again, it's much easier to come up with a critique of why Jeremy Corbyn is not right about the economy. They said basically he makes promises that would endanger the economy. Yep, sure. But then what is your position on the economy? You know, where do you stand on the question of what the appropriate top rate of taxes? Where do you stand on the question of borrowing? And I think this is one of the very difficult things for any new party to work out, is where to position themselves to make themselves appealing enough to people who are culturally Remain, but also happen to be kind of quite on the left in lots of other ways, and how to be a party that says, right, we're going to be a kind of genuine centrist party. I think there's, you know, I remember in the Lib Dem years, Jeremy Brown, Lib Dem minister, used to kind of argue against the idea that the Lib Dems should be... He used to argue Lib Dems should be a liberal party rather than a party of the centre. Because he used to argue, if you're a party of the centre, if Labour moved to the left or Tories moved to the right, you logically have to move your position regardless of whether you want to or not, because you are just defining yourself by your distance between the parties. So what is this party? Is it a centrist party which just intends to sit in the middle between Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May? Or is it a party that stands for a particular tradition in British politics? Because they haven't quite articulated what that tradition is yet.
Yes, and when Gavin Shuker was going to set out the new group's values, I sort of thought, oh, we're going to find out what they believe. And then he said things like, we believe in the innate power of individuals and we believe in strong democratic institutions. And I sort of thought, well, great, I'm glad you're signed up to sort of basic principles of decency here. So I think the group have psychologically had to focus so much on just leaving that they haven't thought as much about policies. They've struggled to really sit down and come up with, as James says, things on the top rate of tax. And there aren't enough of them yet for them to really be able to do that. But that's what they now need to move on to, because they will also have people coming to them who want to join them, who they might think, actually, no, you're not the right MP to join our movement. And that might be because they don't get on with them, or this sort of Jared O'Mara style MP, but also it might be because they are ultimately, as James says, from a different tradition. And you don't want it to be a sort of hodgepodge of anti-Jeremy Corbyn, I don't like where I am at the moment sort of party. Although obviously all parties are coalitions of different views, but they need to have something that explains why they're together and why they're apart from other people as well.
And speaking of figures who want to be close to this new group, we've had Vince Cable and the Lib Dems come out quite quickly and say they're very happy to work with like-minded people. Isabel, is this a boon for the independent group, just, you know, an hour into its creation?
Well, it's so interesting the way the Lib Dems have completely failed to offer a refuge to MPs who are fleeing from either the Conservatives or the Labour Party. There's never been a discussion, apart from every sort of time the Lib Dems have one of their conferences, whoever's their leader, whether it was Tim Farron or now Vince Cable, will say, oh, I've talked to Labour MPs who'd quite like to join the Lib Dems, and all the Labour MPs who think that Tim Farron or Vince Cable are talking about them start laughing. So the Lib Dems have just failed to be that sort of centrist force in politics. And Vince Cable admitted at their last conference that basically they would probably have to fold into a new movement. But they could conceivably bring some structures with them. I'm not sure whether some of those structures would be that attractive to a new independent group, given, if you remember from a few years ago, the Lib Dem organogram that came out when the party was having a lot of internal troubles over sexual harassment. That organogram was so complicated that everyone said it looked a bit like a sort of a drunken spider had crawled over some paper with some ink attached to its feet. And actually it was a kind of diffuse power structure where people were in charge of little fiefdoms that were actually quite important in terms of setting party policy, which is why the party did have a goldfish policy at one stage. So the Lib Dems have got to work out what they might actually bring to this new movement, other than perhaps some foot soldiers.
And in a reminder of the challenges facing the independent group as they enter this chapter, we have the news at the time of recording that the website has broken down. They're claiming that is due to demand. Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James. And we'll be back tomorrow, if not today, if something else dramatic happens. And we have another fantastic offer. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher and you can get 12 issues for £12, along with a £10 Amazon voucher.